And so we're in this fourth week already in this message series called Place. Those of you that sign up for the workshop that's coming on Thursday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be covering these five different areas of personality discovery, learning spiritual gifts, abilities awareness, connecting passion to ministry, and experiences of life. Based on the foundation of God's Word and Scripture, we're going to be looking at those five different areas as we continue to venture out, understand better the sweet spot that God has, the place He has for us in our lives and ministries to serve Him in the church, but also in accomplishing the everyday mission that He's given each of us in our lives. We've talked about this definition of sweet spot. We understand what this is about. It's the point or area on a bat or a club or a racket which makes most effective contact with the ball. Second idea here is an ideal or most favorable location, area, or combination of factors for a particular activity or purpose. We understand the terminology of the phrase sweet spot. It might be in sports. It could be you found your sweet spot in your career. Maybe where your business or your home was located within a city or town or wherever it was a sweet spot. When you think of big places you've gone on vacation, you can think of just that sweet spot. And then, of course, your favorite place for dessert. That's a sweet spot. Hey, that corner of the room was a pretty great place. That was a sweet spot. That's a sweet spot this morning, right? Pretty sweet spot, okay? We understand this phrase, this terminology of sweet spot. But the question I have is, what are some not so sweet spots in life? What are some not so sweet spots? Let me just give you a few examples. We could spend the rest of the time about talking about not so sweet spots, but we're going to get to the point of our Bible study today. But here's one. Seat in a plane. The middle seat, that's not so sweet spot. What about this one? Oh. Hey, put your gum in the trash. Right? Gum on the bottom of your shoe. What about this one? How many of you have a dentist that likes to talk to you while your mouth is like, hey, why do they do that? How are you supposed to respond? It's for some, it's a not so sweet spot, the sitting in the chair at the dentist's office. What's he having done? Anyway, what about this one? That's a not so sweet spot. Not only sitting in traffic, but sitting in construction. How many of you have traveled before and out in the middle of nowhere, there's like major construction, you're held up for like an hour? What are they doing? Why are they doing road improvements out there? How about this one? I hope you've never experienced this at a sporting event. That's more than partially obstructed view, isn't it? Got to be the worst place in the world, isn't it? Holy cow. Wow. Well, I shared those things with you because they're without a doubt some not so sweet spots that we sometimes find ourselves in. Well, in today's story, it's going to be from Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at two individuals who not only discovered but also lived out their God-given sweet spots in their lives and produce some pretty amazing results. And then we're going to also look at this third individual, who chose instead to live his life in the not-so-sweet spot. Last week, we looked at the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. This week, we're looking at talents. We have talents and abilities that are also God-given. And so in your Bible, I need to turn away from this guy right here, and we'll go to some scriptures. But in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 18, we find what is known as the parable of the talents. Many of you are familiar with this parable. You've read this story before. Maybe some of you that's fairly new, but let's look at it together. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To the one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. The one who received the 5 talents immediately went and did business with them and earned 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received the 2 talents earned 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And so, in your outline, there are 3 very simple questions, 3 God-given talents questions that we're going to look at today. Here's the first: responsibility. Am I responsible with the talents that God has given me? This is the area of responsibility. You know, as you move through life, as you move through adult life, you understand, many of us understand that we have responsibilities in life. God has also given us responsibilities with the talents that he's given to us. So let's look at this. The master, he gives, in this story, gives talents to all 3 servants. He gives out talents to these servants according to their ability. You might say the master is giving them responsibility. What does it say? What does the story tell us? To the first servant, he gave how many talents?
5.
To the second servant, how many?
2.
Want to start over?
Yeah. I love you guys so much. To the third, how many?
1.
Is everybody okay? In terms of earning power, in today's currency, 1 talent would be worth 20 years' wages. But that, bring that home into our world today, and let's just say this would be kind of low right now for what we need to live on, you know, but let's just say, for round number's sake, that you made $50,000 a year. A talent would be worth $1 million. 2 talents, $2 million. 5 talents, $5 million. That's not bad. That's not bad. But I want us to understand that this story is not just about money. Because God pours out blessings in our lives. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us talents. He gives abilities. He gives us resources. He gives us finances. Many of us have had an education, and you have life experiences. So it's the idea here is that everything we have has come from God. God is generous. He's gracious to us. And we're stewards of it. We're stewards of these things. And God has given each of us talents according to our abilities, and he expects us to invest them wisely, whatever those are, until he returns. Do you understand that the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming back?
Amen.
He's the master in this story. He's coming back. Some of you have 5 talents. Others 3. And so others have received 1 talent. The question is not how many talents you have. It's what are you doing with the talents that God has given you? And so, when we look at the series, Place, Finding Your Sweet Spot, remember, these are the things that we're looking at. Personality. Where does my personality best suit me to serve? What am I gifted to do, learning my spiritual gifts? What natural abilities or talents has God given me? And then passion is, what makes your heart beat? What are you passionate about when it comes to serving and meeting needs of others? And then what life experiences have you had? Some are certainly in the spiritual realm. We've had painful life experiences that God wants us to use as we work through those painful experiences to bring comfort and blessing to others. We've had celebrative experiences, educational. We've had ministry experiences. The master in this story is who? Jesus. Jesus. I'm not going to ask you any more questions. I'm just going to talk.
It's going to happen.
No, I'm kidding. I'm really kidding. You guys are great. So the master Jesus, it says here that he's gone away for a while. And isn't it true? Our master, our Lord and Savior, he ascended into heaven. He's gone away for a little while. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. But be assured, he is coming back. And while he's away, he's given us the responsibility of investing our talents. Everything that God has given us, we need to do it wisely until he returns. As we look here back at the story in Matthew 25, verses 16, 18, the man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. That's pretty great. That's pretty great investment. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. Those of you that believe that that second servant had 3 talents, that's okay. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So what happened with the servant who had 5 talents? What was the result?
Double.
The servant who had 2 talents also did what?
Doubled
his. But the servant with 1 talent, the Bible says he took his talent, he digs a hole in the ground, and he buries it. I want you to think of it this way. You have a bag of talents that all that God has given you. So each of us, we hold in our hands, we have in our possession within us a bag of opportunity for such a time as this. But it's also true for the church. God has given us a bag of opportunity for such a time as this. And you're living in this exact time, in this century, because God planned it that way. God knew all about you and how he planned to use your life even before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. And now you're here. Look at you. You're here. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. Here we are, just like God planned it. But the question is, what have you done so far? And what are you doing currently with what God has given you? And how are you going to continue to invest your talents during the time that God has you here? Why does this matter? Why does it matter? You may be sitting there wondering, why does it really matter what I do with the talents that God has given me? I just want you to, according to the story, it matters. This is huge. Because the Bible says that one day, Jesus, the master, he's going to return. He's coming back. And he's going to ask, we're going to see in the story, he's going to ask each servant, what have you done with what I've given you? Here's the wonderful thing. God, each of us has a place on God's team. Question is, have you discovered and are you living out that sweet spot that God has in your life? The first question is in the area of responsibility. God has given each of us a bag of opportunity. He's given us responsibility to use and invest our talents wisely. But there's also a second question, and it deals with accountability. Accountability. Am I investing my talents wisely? For one day I'll give an account at Christ's return. So in our story, as we look at the parable of the talents, which has an incredibly, incredible spiritual and heavenly meaning, in our story, following his long journey, the master does come back. And he comes back and he He wants to find out how the three servants invested their talents. Were they responsible with the talents they've been given? Did they invest them wisely? And when you think about this, it's how it's going to be when Jesus returns. How will we have invested all that God has given us? And so we see in verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 25, after a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. I don't want you to overlook these words that we find in this parable. It says, after a long time. Jesus was teaching his disciples there. He was teaching crowds. He was teaching followers. He wants to remind them that sometimes God's timetable is different from ours. Sometimes people wonder, why is it taking Jesus so long to return? It's going to happen according to God's timetable, his time frame. It will happen. But we see here, the first servant, I mean, he's fired up. He's excited to show and tell the master what he's done. He says, Master, see, look, I found my God-given sweet spot. I put my talents to work. And the results, I doubled. It doubled. It was exponential growth. And then we see in verse 22, the man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. So the second servant has the same response. Both of these first 2 servants, they lived out their God-given sweet spots responsibly and obediently. They knew that they were going to need to give an account one day. But then we come to the third servant. And here's what the third servant says to the master. He speaks these words to the master. Then the man who received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Now we're going to talk more about this third servant in just a moment. But one of the things I want you to notice is each servant comes face to face with the master. Each servant does. Why are they coming face to face one by one? They're given an account. They're given an account. And so the thing that we need to look at today and be reminded of is Jesus is coming back. We want to be responsible. Walk in obedience. There's an account we have to give one day. It's something that each one of us personally will do. We'll give an account. The Bible says in Romans 14, 12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And I just want you to know, you're not going to be standing there with your grandmother one day and saying, well, my grandmother was this incredibly godly woman, and Jesus, I just want to be kind of fried in on her coattails, you know. It says each of us will give an account before the Lord. So you have responsibility, accountability. And then there's a third question, rewards. What will the reward be for the investment of my talents? What will my reward be for the investment of my talents? Notice what the master says to the servant who doubled his 5 talents. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So we hear these words that were spoken by the master to the first servant, who found his sweet spot and invested his talents wisely. But the master also says, the same thing really to the second servant. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. In these responses from the master, in the responses to each one of these first two servants, we're going to see three rewards. Three rewards. One is commendation. What does the master say to these two servants? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. There's also, how many of you in life enjoyed getting a promotion? Promotion. There's a sense of a promotion here. I'll put you in charge of many things. And then I love the invitation. Come and share in your master's happiness. Three rewards. Three rewards for individuals, for followers of Jesus, who discover and find their sweet spot. Invest the talents that they've been given. Commendation, promotion, and invitation. And so when you think about those three rewards, isn't that a day that we all look forward to one day? In a lot of ways, what a day that will be. Because it's on this day you'll hear your master say to you words of commendation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He'll give you a promotion. I'll put you in charge of many things. And you receive an invitation. What's that invitation? It's absolutely eternal, unending joy. Come and share in your master's happiness. So when you think about the series place, finding and living out your sweet spot in life and ministry, this really matters. And so I want to look, though, here as we come toward the end of this message. I want us to look at the third servant. The third servant chose not to live in the sweet spot that God had for, that the master had for him. And so we see here in verse 24 of Matthew 25, then the man who received the one talent came, master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. What is he saying here? The third servant says to the master, he's basically saying, master, you're a hard man. You're unmerciful. You're unrelenting. You're unkind. You lack compassion. You're too tough. You lack sensitivity. You're just a hard man. And then if you really look into these words, he's basically saying to his master, you're stealing somebody else's crop. You're picking somebody else's wheat. He's basically saying two things of his master. One, you are so hard and unrelenting. You really are. That's the kind of master you are. And then secondly, he's saying, you take from other people. You're stealing. You're taking from other people. You know, when I look at those words that he shared with his master, what's so mind-boggling about it is he has a totally wrong view and perspective of his master. And we can find this to be true also today. There are so many people who have an inaccurate view of who God is or of who Jesus is. It's true for so many people. For one reason or another, there are people who have this distorted, unbiblical view of God and of Jesus. And I don't know whether that comes from, well, it certainly comes from the enemy. He wants us to have this distorted, twisted view of who God is. I don't know if it comes also from upbringing, how the TV or media or movies view Jesus and God. I don't know if it comes from our culture, but it certainly comes from the enemy. There are people walking around today that have this just confused, an inappropriate view of who God really is, this third servant struggled in that area. And so we read verses 26 through 30 to wrap up the story. But his master answered him and said to him, "You worthless, lazy servant, did you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will be given abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And throw the worthless slave or servant into the outer darkness, in that place where will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this is one of those places in the Bible that there's nothing that I personally could do, nor should I do, to paint a prettier picture of what this all means. I mean, I can't give you a Hallmark movie ending here for this guy, because I wouldn't be being truthful. I mean, you can't really sugarcoat this part of the story. What we find here is the third servant, he'd been given talents by the master. And he chose, first of all, to reject his master. He chose to live in the not-so-sweet spot, not only in this life, but also in the eternal life to come, which means you're living separated from God. Separated from God, that's hell. That's hell. It's total darkness. He describes it here as weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the unrelieved eternal pain and suffering of rejecting Jesus and choosing to live forever outside of the presence of God. There's some good news, and there's some not so great news. There's some bad news. God's plan is for every single person to one day join him in the sweetest spot of all, heaven. That's going to be the sweetest spot of all. It's a perfect place. The Bible even says we're going to get newly transformed bodies.
Amen.
Are you okay with that?
Yes. And hair.
And hair. That's exactly right. The sweetest spot of all. And so everything we're doing here is kind of a preview of what God intends. So to in our lives here, like the two servants who discovered and lived out their sweet spot in life, they found their true sweet spot was serving the master. They found the relationship with the master. That's really what it's about, right? You gain access eternally in heaven, the sweetest spot of all, through a personal relationship with Jesus. Remember we talked about at the beginning of this message, we understand what the term, the phrase sweet spot means, and then we looked at some not so sweet spots. The most not so sweet spot of all is hell. Separation, isolation, and darkness. That's the not so sweet spot of all. And God says in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And I'll tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And then the last verse, the parable of the talents, Matthew 25:30. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Separation. Isolation. Outside of the presence of God. Total darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are people in our prisons who face solitary confinement. Hell will be solitary confinement for eternity. It really will. Those that have the view that it's just going to be this ongoing party, it's a lie from the enemy. It really is. It's going to be never-ending isolation, loneliness. Totally void of the presence of God. That's hell. It is. But I want you to understand, God is so loving and so good that hell is not at all what he's planned and prepared for anyone that he creates. What he has prepared is that you find the sweet spot in a personal relationship with Jesus. And I hope everyone here that you've done that or will do that in your life. Have you received the Master, Jesus, as your personal Lord and Savior? And then here's this. Every believer, every Christian, you've been given talents. Our responsibility, there will be a sense of accountability, and one day we'll be rewarded for living out the sweet spot that God has in our lives and ministry. It's really what place it is really all about. And I just look forward to all that God's going to do in our journey together, and that we one day in heaven will receive those incredible rewards that we talked about in the sweetest spot of all, in eternity with the Lord and with each other forever and evermore. Let us pray.